Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Songwriter Connection Podcast, where we look at the craft of songwriting through the eyes of the songwriter. Each week, we make a connection with a music maker, listen to their songs, and hear their stories. From Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, Dave Lenihan.
Again, thank you for joining our pod. If you're listening on the day that it publishes, happy May Day. It's May the 1st, and we're glad that you made time to join us. We've got a very special guest. I've been wanting to meet him for a long, long time. I've always known who she is. Let me tell you about Christy Manna, who is our guest today. His page is here. Let me tell you. I'm going to try to sum it all up really quickly, and then we'll go in depth as we go. She had this song that was like six weeks at the top of the charts and launched the career of this guy who I think if he keeps going, he's going to be a big star. Blake Shelton.
I think he will.
I remember when it was Mullet Blake.
Yeah.
He used to come and hang around the radio station, bring his guitar. Just a great guy. Actually, I got to jam with him one time. It's a long story.
That's cool.
But anyway, she wrote Austin, the song that launched him.
I wrote it with somebody else, but we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that. Yeah. A co-write. She's also had hits from Big and Rich. Tiffany? Really? Are you kidding? Her songs have been heard on CMT, ESPN, The Kelly Clarkson Show, Gayle King's Grammy Special, and others too. She's also a keynote speaker, a concert performer, a workshop facilitator. She's got an online course that's very popular called Spark Your Creativity. I hope you're going to spark our creativity today.
Hope we do.
Also a podcast, Kirsty Cast, which is really amazing. We'll be talking about that. And she's the founder of Songwriter Girl and Songwriter Girl Camps, empowering women in the music industry. This goes on and on. She's a label executive, her own publisher, a career coach, a mentor, life coach. I need you today.
A cat lover?
That I didn't know about you, but I'm impressed. That impresses me. Kirsty, there's not hours in the day for you. How do you make it all work?
I don't know. I'm a plate spinner.
You're a plate spinner. That's quite the trick. And you brought your husband, Bill Warner, who's... You teamed up when you first came to town, you were telling me.
Yes.
And wrote lots of songs. Bill, you're not a producer, and tell us a little bit about what you do real quick, because I want to introduce you too.
Well, yes, I work for Lucky Sky Music. I produce the flagship artist, Tori Martin. On the label, and I do work with Kirsty on quite a number of projects. I watch those plates spin.
Well, it's great. It's great to have a partner that supports everything you do, isn't it?
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true.
And you work with our friend, Bill DeLuigi.
Aww.
Bill has been on this show, and I love Bill.
My song brother.
He's your song brother.
Yes.
So you must have written a lot of songs.
We have. We've been really fortunate to have a lot of cuts together. We have. Mm-hmm. We just had something come out recently on an Australian artist named Lily Grace, and
I know of Lily Grace.
Yeah,
she's amazing, young talent.
She's a real up and comer.
Yeah,
and we've had a lot of cuts together in Australia, a lot of number ones. It's really
good.
Cool, and you know, it's so cool when you get in a room with somebody, you meet a co-writer, and it just develops into this creative relationship. It's kind of hard to explain, but you know, you've had them with people too. Yeah. And it develops in this creative relationship that is just so wonderful, the way you can read each other's minds in the room, and you know, the way you can let each other roll when you know, when somebody's really, you know, got something going on in their mind that they got to get out. So he and I really connect, and you know, he's from Philly, I'm from Ohio, we're both from the north, so to speak, and there's something to that, I think. You know, they used to talk about Muscle Shoals, you know, something in the water
there.
And I think that is kind of true, in the sense that people come from the same kind of place, and they they understand how each other ticks.
Don't forget the Italian part, too.
And the Italian
part.
They
call each other WAP.
I know that's like...
Which is a pejorative term for Italians.
Yeah, I know that's not like politically...
She picks up the phone. Hey, WAP.
I know it's not politically or...
Now, I was thinking dealing with you as Irish.
No, right.
I'm just kidding. I'm with a name like Lenihan, you know I'm Irish. But I'm half Italian, too.
Are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why you're so much fun.
Yeah, you better...
You've got both things going.
Yeah.
The two fun nationalities.
Well, the Irish is kind of like an Italian removed, you know.
Yeah.
They started out as Romans, I think.
I'm sure my dad is spinning in his grave, though, knowing that I'm calling somebody else WAP, because he never liked any of those kind of terms, you know.
Oh, absolutely
no,
not.
No
where
way.
I came from either. No,
no
absolutely
way.
Not.
Yeah, but you're from Ohio, too.
I'm from Ohio, too. Grew up in Cleveland, born in Buffalo, New York.
Oh.
Cleveland, my first radio gig was near Youngstown in Warren, Ohio.
Yeah, you said that. That's cool.
Yeah, and... Wasn't Bob DePiro too from the?
Yeah, he's from Youngstown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great songwriter.
I think he went to Boardman High School where Bill went.
No, he went to Liberty High School.
Oh, now
Liberty.
We're talking about high schools.
And I used to watch his high school rock band. Or I had a high school rock band. Bob's a little older.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I'd watch his band. He was in a band called Joy, and they would play, the high school dances and stuff.
I remember some of those. Wasn't Glass Harp from Youngstown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Phil Keggy?
Yeah.
My dad had a recording studio, and Phil first recorded there when Phil was like 15. He was in a group called the New Hudson Exit before Glass Harp.
Yeah.
And he was amazing even then.
Oh. Yeah. If you don't know who Phil Keggy is,
please
look him up. He's one of the best guitar players in the world.
He is. Yeah. One time we played a round. I don't know how we were in this round with him, Bill, with the Bluebird, remember?
Because of Sarah Turner.
Oh, that's right. Another Youngstowner.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was killing it, and everybody's just like, we're in a round with Phil Keggy.
I'm a pretty good guitar player, but I'm not Phil Keggy. He's right next to me. I'm having like an out of Bluebird experience.
I would have too. My friend Eve Sellers, who was on this show back in the middle of April, talking about her new album, her and Phil are pretty good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the guitar she plays, Phil gave her.
Okay.
And so whenever I say, I go, can I carry in the Phil Keggy? just to touch the guitar case and touch the guitar. So, yeah, he's absolutely incredible. I was in a little restaurant in Destin, Florida. We go there every year called the Donut Hole. It's our favorite place. And I had just bought a new guitar, Zager guitar, and I had my Zager shirt on that they gave me. And this lady kept staring at me the whole time. And I'm checking out, and she comes up to me, and she grabs my hand, and she looks at me, and I go, What? She goes, I'm sorry, are you Phil Keggy?
That's a compliment.
No, there's a slight resemblance. I can see why she did that.
I can see that.
I'm like, no, but if I could play half as good as him, I'd be twice as good as I am right now.
Yeah. Well, they asked on the Dick Cavett show back in the day, they asked Jimmy who was his favorite guitar player. Who was the best guitar player?
I've heard this.
He said Phil Keggy.
Awesome. So I have to ask, they ask him, what's it like to be the best guitar player in the world? He's not even going to ask Phil Keggy.
That's how it goes.
Isn't that
something?
Wow,
that's amazing.
That is some pretty high praise. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Chrissy, let's talk about you. Now, when did you move to, did you go right from Youngstown to Nashville?
Or? No. Bill and I met in college.
You did?
And I actually was going to marry somebody else, called my wedding off, and then Bill and I got married like a year later. It's true. People don't
and you're going to hunt him down, aren't you? No.
Right, no kidding.
I won.
So. You won.
Yeah, right. We met in college, and we met, in theory. Bill was really good at theory. He's amazing at theory, and I was always pretty bad and still not the most amazing person. But at any rate, so we moved to California, and my mom always said we should go to Nashville, and so we came back to Youngstown, and we had a duo. It started out as a jazz duo, and then it evolved into, playing commercial music. And so we toured around, and then eventually we came here to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And when we got here, we got a gig at the Opryland Hotel because somebody who worked there had gotten kicked in the leg by their horse.
Ooh.
And so they couldn't play, unfortunately. And we got a job there. We worked at where the Jack Daniels was in a different place now. We worked there. We worked at the Pick and Parlor. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, we got a writing deal together as a team. And so we started writing together. And then Bill kind of faded away from the writing part of the world.
I had a chance to work at Starstruck before It was. It's not. It was not a six. Yeah. It was by Mrs. Grissom's Salads over by the soccer stadium.
Okay. I think that's gone now.
Is it gone now? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's Star Trek was originally in a different location. Mm-hmm. So I worked in the publishing office, engineering there. I'd never engineered in my life, but I grew up around it with my dad's studio. I was only there for about 6 months, and I parlayed that into some full-time stuff. So there was no time to write. Engineering is extremely time-consuming. You're the first one to the session and the last one to leave.
And yeah, that you are, yeah. And I don't know about you, but the reason why I don't have my own studio is I know I'd spend, like, all my time and then some. And I probably wouldn't get any sleep because it's addictive and you just and tedious. And you've got to have that ear for it, too.
A famous engineer, Dave Pensado, says, you're never done with the mix. You just ran out of time or money.
I believe that.
That is true.
That is really true. So let's talk about how your songwriting career really began and took off. And tell us this story.
Well, I think it's important when you're going to be a songwriter. You know, everybody talks about, you know, you can't make any money in the music business. And I get really tired of hearing
those stories.
And
but there are ways. And we're going to do a whole show on that, too, coming up.
Yeah, I guess we could agree on that in some ways. But at any rate, we came here and we started writing as a team. And then I just kept on writing. And, you know, I always tell people you have to have a plan. And so Bill was making the money and I was keeping my nose down writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And you have to do a lot of writing to get great. It's like golfing, right. You have to be in it.
Yeah, you do.
So then I went on the road with an artist named Joylynn White. She was signed to Columbia. We went on the road.
I remember her.
Yeah, and I sang backup and played keys for her.
I want to say she was Ohio, too.
No, she was from Indiana.
Indiana, okay.
Yeah, close.
Nearby, Cincinnati area.
Yeah, she was like from, I don't know where. Yeah. I can't remember right now. But anyway, so I went on the road with her, got off the road, and you know, kept writing even more and more and more. Mm-hmm. And then just so happened that David Kent and I heard this idea from Ash Underwood's answering machine.
I have always heard this from way back when
this
song was.
It's really true.
It was on his answering machine.
It was on his answering machine, and I went to his house and said, we should write that. He goes, no, I don't.
We're talking about Austin right now.
We're talking about the song Austin.
Actually, on his machine, he said,
if this is Austin, I still love you.
I still love you.
Because his girlfriend had moved back to Austin. And he left that message for her. And so many people have asked me that. Is that Austin the city? Is the girl named Austin? Who's Austin?
Yeah.
And it's really, he was going, hey, Austin. You know, like I would say you, hey, Cincinnati, kind of thing.
Hey, Youngstown.
Right. So, exactly. So he didn't want to write it. I said, okay. He said, I don't want to write it. You can have the idea. So I went to David Kent's house like the next day.
Unbelievable.
And told him. And David said, he doesn't want it. No. So David and I wrote, we talked for many hours, maybe 5 hours, about the idea and talked about how we would progress this story and all these kind of things, what it could be. And I think we had like 3 writing sessions on that song. It wasn't, like now people get together and it's like, oh my gosh, if we don't write this in 2 hours, we're going to kill ourselves, And it was just kind of different then. And then I remember, you always remember where you were. I remember I was coming out of a restaurant in February, a February night up in Goodlettsville. And David Kent said, I made a demo of If This Is Austin, I Still Love You, which was the official title, right?
It was a much longer title then.
Yeah. And he said, I really think we have something. Mm. And so I could not believe it. I thought it was so great. And so at the time, David was writing for Talbot Music, and Jana Talbot was his publisher. So I'm fast forwarding here, and she pitched it to Debbie Zavidson, who
Debbie.
At that time was a giant. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Clay Walker put the song on hold.
Really?
And then it somehow
could have been a Clay Walker cut. You missed out.
And then somehow, she started working with Blake. I think Bobby brought her Blake, and she started working with him. She really fought for, Blake to be on the label and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, then when Clay took it off hold, I remember I was in California and David Kent called me. Hey, this guy named Blake Shelton wants to cut If This Is Austin, I Still Love You. What do you think? I said, well, he's a really good singer.
Yeah.
It would be a really good cut.
Yeah.
That was my attitude. He goes, okay. So we said, yeah, go ahead, cut it, Well, then after the song was cut and, it was up and down and over and out and, mm-hmm. the song was in, it was out, it was a single, it wasn't. And Bobby Braddock was such a fan of the song, mm-hmm. and he started calling people and saying, and playing it, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And he got, you know, like 100% of people were saying, oh my gosh, you know, he's got to do this song. So, so then Blake, of course, Giant closes, and Warner Brothers, yeah. you know, picked Blake up. Mm-hmm. And I'm skipping over some of the sort of details. But at any rate, Bobby said, I see this song, I see one word going up the charts. I think you should call it Austin. And that's where that, you know, abbreviation happened, was Bobby's suggestion.
Well, Bobby's pretty brilliant, I'd say.
Yeah.
D-I-V-O-R-C-E, and he stopped loving her today.
Right.
He's got an amazing book, My Life on the Row, which was one of my all-time favorite books.
Yeah.
I've met him once or twice, actually. I'd love to have him on this podcast.
Yeah, he's got so many stories to tell, and he's really a brilliant writer, and he's such a nice person.
The one detail you're leaving out is Giant released the record, just preliminary, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And already people were calling up going, no, it's Austin, the girl, or the singer.
Yeah, yeah.
So Warner Brothers determined that well, if they care enough to ask, the song has legs.
Oh, yeah. You betcha.
So
you bet
Warner Brothers picked him up, and I think one other act on Giant went to Warner Brothers. I don't know who that was, but...
Here's the question I've been wanting to ask you. So the guy
who I'm going to answer it? No,
and you don't have to. The guy who had it on his answering machine.
Yeah.
What did he say after it became a big hit?
He said...
What was his reaction?
He said, I didn't even get dinner. No,
that's what he said.
He came to my number one party. I didn't even get a dinner.
He didn't even get a dinner. Well, I'm sorry, dude. We gave you a chance to write it, and you said no.
But he always would say, you know, it would have been a different song. And that's that's the whole thing, you know,
right.
about any song you write with anybody. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the day, on the divine, on the moment, on
the day, the divine, the moment. Well,
it depends on all of those kinds of things come into play in the room, you know, because I really believe in all the gifts we're given, ideas and everything. They're all God given. And so, you know, how do we use them?
Yeah.
And I just always think this is just one of my philosophies of life. I just think it's so sad for people that have great minds and they use their ideas in bad ways, because, you know, there's so many great ways to use ideas. There's all kinds of ways to affect people and lift people up, whatever you want to call it. And so that's one of my bits of advice to songwriters, is that you just have to go in the room and you have to be open. You have to always be ready for what's going to come down the pike. You can't compete with who's in the room.
That's
you can't
true.
Try to get your word, your line, your melody, whatever it is. Because there's going to be a day that you're in a room and you got it all. And mm-hmm. it's just...
You're driving.
Like, it's just coming like mm-hmm. a waterfall. And not every day is like that.
No, sometimes you're not. Maybe you're, you know...
But another piece of advice Bobby Braddock gave me, and I use it to this day, he said, you know, you're going to write with a lot of people, but his experience was, you know, you find these people that you just really make the magic with, and you...
It's so true.
And you stick with those people.
Hang on to that. Yeah.
And it's a hard thing when people say, hey, you want to write? And I think about every time somebody asks me that, and I think, you know, like I've got my loved ones in my heart, you know, I'm not saying I don't want to try with you, but for me, you know, there has to be a purpose in a sense, because we're trying to write commercial music. We're not just writing for fun. And so, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes that can be a hard thing to say to somebody, you know what, I'm not taking any appointments right now, or I'm just being real.
Yeah,
And I know a lot of people don't talk about that, but I am into being real.
You talk about making those connections, and when you're in a room co-writing, I imagine it's you're throwing your heart out on the table.
Oh yeah,
and so it's, I can imagine you getting really close, and then and it doesn't always happen like you say. There's a lot of times that we call it co-staring.
that's true.
It's just not working, and you know it. And then you don't set up right the next time, or maybe you start something and you don't get it finished.
But. Well, I always try to give people a couple tries, you know, because
me too.
Everybody has, you know, a bad day or, you know, something just happened in their life, and then they got to show up and get creative. And and then all the weirdness that happened with COVID. And I think that made it a little weird when people started getting back together, you know, because everybody got really comfortable, whether anybody wants to admit it or not, even though Zoom was a pain in the rear end, everybody got comfortable with
it. Sure did. I still do a lot of writing.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, if it works for you, do it.
And you learn that it's a smaller world today. I write with artists from Australia.
Yeah.
And artists from Colorado and South Dakota and you know, Texas. And you know, thank God for Zoom, you know.
It's
but
true.
I still think there's something cool about being in the room.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing like the magic of the human being connection, you know.
Well, let's get back to Austin because I'll tell you, to me, I don't think there's any such thing as a perfect song, but doggone it, this is so close. Every line crafted, the way that every verse leads to the chorus and the ending, it was just an amazing write. And I could see that it probably, I knew it wasn't one of those songs that you wrote in 5 minutes.
No. Well, we really did talk about it, you know, and David Kent and I don't really write together that much anymore, but that is something that we would always do. We would always discuss. Mm-hmm. And David lived kind of out in the country, and he's a gourmet cook. Ooh. And he'd say, if you come all the way out here, I'll make us a good lunch. And so, okay, ooh. I'm Italian. Of course, I'm going to, food will lead me. So I always would go out there and work with him, you know. And that's another thing, too, is being in that space. It's a good vibe. And I'm a window girl. I like to have a room that's got light and windows and and I can always feel it in myself. Like if I go to a write and it's in a room with no windows, I can feel my clothes down, you know. It really happens for me, you know, because I know myself really well and it's what I need, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, can we play that song?
Yeah. This is funny. I got to tell you, I don't have my piano.
Uh-huh.
And so I might just like fake play on your table here.
Fake play
and
on
Bill,
my table.
And
Bill's going to play the guitar. Awesome. Here we go. Percy Manna.
Thank you. She left without leaving a number. Said she needed to clear her mind. He figured she'd gone back to Austin, 'cause she talked about it all the time. It was almost a year before she called him up. Three rings and an answering machine is what she got. If you're calling about the car, I sort it. If this is Tuesday night, I'm bowling. If you've got something to sell, you're wasting your time. I'm not buying. If it's anybody else, wait for the tone. You know what to do. P.S. If this is Austin, I still love you. The telephone fell to the counter. She heard, but she couldn't believe. What kind of man would hang on that long? Kind of love that must be. She waited 3 days and then she tried again. Didn't know what she'd say, but she heard three rings and then, if it's Friday night, I'm at the ball game, and first thing Saturday, if it don't rain, I'm heading up to the lake and I'll be gone all weekend long. But I'll call you back when I get home, yeah, on Sunday afternoon. And P.S. if this is Austin, I still love you. This time she left a number, but not another word. And she waited by the phone on Sunday evening, and this is what he heard. If you're calling about my heart, it's still yours. You should listen to it a little more. Then it wouldn't have taken me so long to know where I belong. And by the way, boy, this is no machine you're talking to. Can can't you tell? This is Austin. And I still love you. I still love you.
Beautiful. I've said it a million times, I'm going to say it a million and one. My favorite thing is hearing this song by the person who wrote it.
Oh, thank you.
That is fantastic.
Thank you so much. Thanks for asking us.
We are into songwriting here. So yeah. I like to dissect songs. And yeah. one of the things I've always noticed and loved about this song, when you get to the ending of that song, yeah. where it's her calling him,
yeah.
You change key. You modulate.
Yeah.
Was that pre-thought? How did that
Yeah, we modulated in the original recording, you know, kind of like the big lift, like the know.
Yeah.
And modulations, you know, I think they're really effective, but, you know,
too.
That's a little old school, I guess. And, yeah, depending on the song, but I don't know if they're so big anymore. You know, they were big in Christian music. I mean, they might still be. I don't know.
You,
but
you rarely hear a half step modulation.
Yeah.
It's always a whole step these days.
Yeah. So.
Is that a half or a whole? I didn't even,
that's a whole.
That was a whole. Yeah. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And you were writing with Jay Ford today, who's one of my favorite friends. I call him Joe Pan.
Yeah, he is a talented kid.
And we wrote a song with Jan Buckingham, and it was an okay song. And then one night he came out and played it at a writer's room we were doing. And he goes, I got an idea on this song. I'm going to modulate the last chorus. And I went, okay, let's hear it. And when he did, I went, dude, that's it. That made the song.
Well, and he's got the, you know, the kind of voice, and he has a great command of his instrument, you know, his vocal.
For more on
and
him.
And so he can really sing. And so if he hears it, he can go.
Jay Forwandes, we did a podcast with him, and it's you'll find it if you go into the archives.
Yeah, I'll have to listen to it. Yeah, I think he's super talented kid.
He really is.
I call everybody a kid. If you're like under 50, you're a kid to me.
I do the same way. I do the same thing. So I remember when Austin hit the airwaves, I was working in Cincinnati. And I just knew it was going to be a giant hit. And
thank you.
Telling Blake that too. And he was such a cool guy. He would just, and I think he worked it just right. You know, he would come, Cincinnati was right up, you know, the turnpike, right up the thruway.
Yeah.
So on his way, he would stop in and just hang around and talk with us jocks. And we became just good fans and friends.
Yeah.
And it's good to have the radio people behind you that. But he was just really cool, and that song still sticks in my head. It's absolutely incredible. Yeah.
What makes me feel really good about the song, I just got to say, is I remember one time it was CMA Fest, and I was at lunch with my friend Lynn Wilbanks and Bill D.
Billy D?
And somebody, you know, the waiter comes up and somebody said, oh, she, you know, wrote Austin, and the kid, you know, was like 20, and they were going on and on about how much they loved the song, and I just love when people tell me how much the song moves them, because we were talking about that today in our write. I just think it's so important as a writer to create things, you know, that really make you feel, you know, we often write through things that maybe aren't going to be the big hit or whatever. And they get discounted, of course, and they languish away somewhere in a drawer or whatever. But, I hate that too. But, you know, the song really made us feel something as we were creating it I just love that it makes people feel, you know.
So well crafted.
Thank you.
That is so well crafted. Absolutely. Let's take a little break. We're going to come back because there's some things I forgot to mention about you. You're an actress.
Ooh.
And I want to talk more about your girl camps, showgirl camps, and things like that. So don't go away. It's Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Songwriter Connection, connecting with music makers and hearing their songs and stories. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Kirstie Mann is our guest. Bill Warner's with her, her husband, and it's so good to have you guys here. So good. I'm glad you came, Bill. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
He just drove me.
The driver.
Otherwise, she'd be playing air piano. Now, you couldn't hear that over there.
I was on my knee.
Well, I also see you do voiceovers, and you're an actress. Mm-hmm. And
I don't act so much anymore, but I do act. No, I'm kidding.
Bill, that
she acts up. Yeah.
Here's a trivia question, folks. Mm. Another great Blake Shelton song is "Ole Red," and I looked at your IMDb profile, and it said "Start in Ole Red." And I'm like, "Ole Red? Wait a minute, was there a movie? Was there a song?" So I pulled up the video, and I hadn't seen it in a while. Now Bobby Braddock is in that video.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the. Do yourself a favor, find the video, and you'll find. I'm not going to say.
Yeah, don't say what I do.
See, you'll find her.
Don't say
you'll
what I do. Yeah.
I will tell you that Bobby is the creepy guy in the jail cell. When he's going to jail.
Yeah. Well, that was funny because at the time, you know, I was really into acting and my agent sent me on this. I said, oh, you got to send me on that. So I remember when I went to the audition, like, I did my hair real. I didn't look anything like myself.
No.
And Blake said, that's Kirstie Mann. She's got to be it. She's got to be in it.
I love it.
So that was pretty funny. But I love that song, Old Red. That is such a great idea for a song.
I remember when the program director played it for me first time. What do you think? I'm going, thank.
And you know, you think about the way Old Red sounds, and you think about God's Country, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, that was the kind of a vibe, you know, that Blake was even into then.
Yeah,
because it's a little similar, I think, you know, in the sense of the feel,
mm-hmm.
not of the song, of course. But
now the other thing I wanted to talk about, we were texting a few weeks back. You told me you just got back from a cruise.
Yeah,
you did this little thing where you're Carole King, right?
Yes. Well, here's what happened. About I don't know, help me, Bill. 6-7 years ago, something like that. This friend of mine, Jonathan Birchfield, he lives in Hickory, North Carolina. And he caught up and said, look, I got this idea for this show, and you're the only person I know that would do it or could do it. And I said, what? And he goes, well, I think we should do a show like a Live from the Troubadour thing of James Taylor and Carole King. So I said, oh, this is fun. Yeah. So we put this idea together and you know, like a lot of the same music that was on that show.
Yeah.
And we sent it out to our friend in Las Vegas and said, what do you think of this idea? He goes, I really love it. I want to write some scores. So he wrote scores for it, and orchestral scores, and then we got a grant, and we hired an orchestra, and we shot a demo reel with this grant money, and then we started touring with a show called You've Got a Friend, which was the music of those two artists. And then COVID came.
Oh, was it just...
And,
that was BC, huh?
And then coming out of COVID, I got asked by several agents if I would... want to work on the Holland America Cruise Line as a featured artist. And Jonathan didn't want to go and said, okay, well, I can just do Carole King. And so they did. They hired me. The first time we went, Dave, this is nuts. We go to get on the ship, and they had lost Bill's gear. All of Bill's gear was gone.
My guitar and my pedal board.
Everything was gone.
Gone.
Oh, no.
So we get on the ship, and every time we go into port, they go, I think we're going to get your guitar here. No, it isn't here yet. We're going to go to the next port. So this man named Louis Shelton was on the ship, and he let Bill use his guitar.
Yeah, Louis Shelton was a member of the Wrecking Crew.
Oh.
Famous guitar player.
Absolutely.
Last Train to Clarksville, that was Louis. And one of my favorite guitar parts, Diamond Girl by Seals and Crofts, that was Louis. Yeah. So we had a lot of mutual friends because he's spent time in Nashville.
So fast forward, same agent just called me again and said, you want to come and do the Carole King show again? And so we went on. And the trip was to Hawaii.
Oh.
So we went for 3 weeks to Hawaii. And
darn the luck.
We were on there playing our Carole King show, and it was really a lot of fun. And what's great about being on a cruise is everything is so run like clockwork. The production team was wonderful, and we recognized a few of those guys from prior engagements. And it was a lot of fun. And it was really crazy because I would say, Anybody ever been to Nashville? And people would come up and say, oh, I've been to Nashville. My granddaughter lives in Nashville. My granddaughter's a songwriter. You know, that kind of thing. It was cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So it was a lot of fun. Yeah. So once again, you know, music takes you into a lot of places, and that's always great.
I have a Carole King story, right?
Oh, cool.
Okay, so
go.
Live in Cincinnati, and I was a member of NSAI there, and we used to put on this show every about 3-4 years, a songwriter festival. And it was called Taste of Batavia. So the restaurants would come out. And then we'd bring all these big songwriters. And
we had
like Wynn Varble. And I'm surprised you weren't there, Chris. Will Nance. A lot of big time. Jeffrey Steele would come and play. And,
yeah, cool.
And we'd always set up this tent. And we tried to set it up to be like a bluebird. We had it was in a round. Mm-hmm. And my friend Greg, he bought this old lamp with a big shade on it. And anytime a hit writer would come to town, we'd have them sign the lamp.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
That's cool.
He still has this lamp, and there's probably 100 signatures on there. So we're playing on a Saturday in the round.
Yeah.
And walking down the midway is Carole King.
Oh, come on.
I swear to God, she stops. We're between songs, and she looks in. She goes, oh, that's just like the bluebird. And I'm like, you're Carole King. And she goes, yeah, I'm campaigning for Sherrod Brown, you know. I was like, come on into the tent. And so she came in, and we begged her to play a song. She goes, no, I'm not here to play a song. Would you sign our lamp?
Yeah. That's the best.
So she signed the lamp. So anyway.
That's a cool idea, sign the lamp.
It's such an honor.
That's really neat. It's so great when you meet an icon or somebody that you really look up to.
One of the best all-time songwriters. Would you have to agree? I mean, seriously, what songs do you do when you do her?
Well, it's really interesting because we do a lot of Tapestry songs,
of course.
Everybody loves the Tapestry album.
Right.
So
my wife's all-time favorite album.
Oh, yeah. So many people love that album so much. It's Too Late, Feel it's the Earth Late. Move. We do a duet of Up on the Roof. We do You've Got a Friend, of course. And then Bill wrote me a medley of some of her first old hits.
Yeah.
And so I do that.
Like Locomotion and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do those and, you know, talk a little bit about when they were.
By the way, there are videos if you go to YouTube with you and
Jonathan. Yeah.
With the whole symphony and everything.
Yeah. And that's at the youvegotafriendmusic.com if anybody wants to watch us do that or.
Absolutely.
Anybody wants to have me come and be Carole King, I'll do that too.
Yeah. Please do. You can contact you where?
Kirstie.com or. You can email me at Kirstie. I guess I should say info@songwritergirl.com. That's the best way to get me. Yeah.
Well, let's segue right into Songwriter Girl.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Tell us about that. That's pretty cool.
Well, I used to go and speak at these different workshops, Dave, talent workshops.
Yeah.
Bill and I had produced a pop act called Eye Candy years ago.
Eye Candy.
And we had a really good time doing that. And the lady
almost put it over the top.
Yeah. It was
showcased in New York. And, yeah.
It was a really great act.
Wow.
So anyway, it didn't work out, but anyhow, the lady that was one of the people that introduced us to these kids, it was an all-girl group. She had these workshops, and so I would go speak at these workshops, and you know, there were always girls and guys, and every time the guys got in the room, girls acted all different and everything. You know, they were scared to do things and ask things and whatever. And I thought, you know, I've had success in the music industry. I want to help girls and women learn about what I learned, and I want them to be empowered. So I decided to have my own event. And my first Songwriter Girl camp was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at, what was the name of that college? I can't even think of it right now. It was a guy's name. Anyway, George Mason University or some name like that. It really was.
Okay.
So it was some little small college in PA. And so I had my first camp there, and then I started having them twice a year. I'd hold them at Montgomery Bell. I'd hold them at Skerrick Bennett. And I also took it on the road. We went over to Europe and did them in Florida, California, Alaska, a lot of places. But always had them in Nashville, too. And so the whole idea of the camp was to give girls the voice for themselves, help them find their voice, and to empower them, you know, to be creative. And I used to say, I don't care if you want to be a chef. I'm just trying to kick you in the creative butt.
There you go.
So that you find your gifts and figure out who you are, what you want to say, And not everybody's going to be a star.
And that is so important. And I preach that all the time in this podcast. You know, find your own voice. Find your own thing.
Yeah.
Be you. We've got a Taylor Swift. We've got to be honest.
There's only one you. There's only one you. And I remember as a girl growing up, you know, I would try to emulate different singers. And, that's what you do, you know. But then as you grow into your
hairbrush
own
hairbrush in front of the mirror kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, and who were you singing? Who were you doing?
I always loved Barbara Streisand. Oh, I always loved her voice, you know, because I was a musical theater kid. So that really interested me. And I liked Ella Fitzgerald. Sarah Vaughan. And I liked the Jazzers. I liked all those people. And really, this is crazy. You know, Tapestry was one of the first records I really got into as a teen because she played piano, and I played piano my whole life. I liked all the piano playing people and never really could figure out the songwriting thing. That was a little bit of a mystery to me, you know, until you start to explore on your own, and that's how you start figuring it out.
When did that start for you, the songwriting passion?
What did you say?
The songwriting passion. When did you realize that this is what you wanted to do?
I was probably not until I was 20, 21, something like that. It was when I got a little bit older, you know, because I was immersed in musical theater. That was my life growing up. And then I went to college. I was a piano major. I was a voice major to start with, but had some vocal issues. And so I switched majors to piano because I had a big background in piano.
Wow.
And graduated with a Bachelor of Music, Music Ed. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that I would, you know, maybe want to teach school. And then when I got to about my second and a half year of school, I thought, I don't want to teach school. So I'll just finish my degree anyway. I think it would be a smart thing to do. But, you know, in the end, you know, as we all go along and the more knowledge we gain, we all become teachers in some way, shape, or form.
I agree.
Whether you think you are or not, you are, you know.
And don't you learn just as much when you're teaching?
Yes.
Yeah. I learn from everybody I work with.
And we are so lucky, aren't we, Dave, to be in a city where that goes on. You know, when you leave the bubble of Nashville, you know, you go out there and it's like people are mystified. How does it all work?
Exactly.
And it isn't really just about songwriting. It's about being creative. I have to say this kid's name because I think he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. But his name is Justin Freck, and you're going to hear about him someday. You should interview this kid because he's super creative. And I get together with him. I met him when I was an adjunct professor at Ball State, and he was in my classes there. I taught songwriting, publishing, performance coaching for them for a while. And I really enjoyed it. And he was one of those kids that was a real sponge, and he just has a lot of talent. And we were talking one day, and he said, you know, when you're creative, you just want to be creative. Like, you want to be creative with everything. And that's the spinning plate phenom for me. It's like, I know it seems cuckoo, but it's like, that looks fun. I think I'm going to do that. Yeah, it's wobbling. I got to go work on that a little bit, you know. I know people think that's cuckoo, but I would not be happy if I couldn't explore just the thought of it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
You know,
100%.
You're only supposed to juggle, so I don't want to see you tap dancing. You know that kind of
baloney.
Thing. Right, exactly.
You got a passion for it, go for it.
You know it.
So let's spark our creativity a little bit. Let's do it. Tell us about sparking your creativity.
Well, here's how
that... Because there are days when you go, I do this.
Really, no.
No, you're not?
I really don't have too many down days, do I, Bill?
No.
No,
you're a very positive.
You feel creatively drained.
Your glasses.
No,
it's always
half full, and it's.
There are days. Another truth of songwriters. We all have them. You go, oh gosh.
I love this.
Gotta write a song today. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
And I always say, God, please, like, open my heart. This is going to be the best day, whatever. And I get there, and it'll always be the day that I'm like, yes. With the song. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
You put that on yourself and then you get there and it's fabulous.
If you look at it as being stressed, it's going to stress you out and you are going to be blocked.
But
if you look at it like, and you know my friend Kim McLean, you know Kim?
Yeah.
I love Kim. On this podcast, she said, I used to pray for the gift of songwriting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I do every day.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Open up. Be open to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bill D always says a prayer before we write, and I really think it helps because, you know, it's give us the crazy creativity kind of thing because it is crazy. We don't always know how to harness it.
Yeah.
No. It kind of like chokes me up to think about the thought of, you know, all the gifts and talent that everybody has and how being here in Nashville and having the opportunity to meet other people who are encouraging, because some people never have encouragement. It's the saddest thing in the world, right?
You're right, though, yeah.
But spark your creativity. So here I came, you know, I was working with somebody who was going to help me get some more speaking gigs, and then COVID, always with the COVID, right? The darn COVID. So COVID hits and we're like, what are we going to do? Well, I had taken a course one time that said, you know, there are all these different stages you can speak on, and one is a podcast. And so I started my podcast right there in the midst of COVID. And I always wanted to write an online course. Well, the friend of mine that was helping me speaking, he was really knowledgeable and had been a big part of putting courses into platforms. So he knew how to put them in there, you know, get them set and ready to sell and all that stuff. So that's exactly what he helped me do. And so I wrote the course. We shot all the videos at our house, huh, Bill?
Wow.
All the, the course is not a video course. It's just me saying intros or saying, this is what this module's about. And then it's really, you know, you doing the work. I was really inspired by the book, The Artist's Way, by Julia Cameron. It's the best.
It's a great book.
And I read that book, knew about that book from a master acting coach, and it changed my artistic life, I have to say. That book really did. Mm-hmm. And so I was inspired from that book to write this course, and I encourage anybody to get the course. It's not an expensive course. You can go to kirstie.com and find a way to buy it there. Mm. And the course is just all about tapping into yourself, discovering more about yourself, your potential, being real with yourself. My big thing with Songwriter Girl was always lose the fear. You know, I'm personality-wise, I'm not a fearful person. I mean, I don't want to jump out of an airplane with a parachute or anything. but I'm not fearful, you know. And you know, and I've been in an environment for the last 20-some years to be encouraged. Just, what are you thinking? No, this will be stupid. No, say it. What do you mean? Right?
Exactly right.
And that is like a big lose the fear thing. Okay, you're giving me permission, shutting my eyes, here I go.
Right.
Oh, that wasn't so stupid after all.
Well,
you
and
know?
It might spark something
exactly.
Somebody else in the room, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't be afraid to express.
No.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, that the course...
But on the other hand, you can't hold dear to it either, as Kevin Griffin has been on the show, said, the ego is not your amigo.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So you have to learn to let it go, too.
Yeah, if you're going to co-write, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to do that.
Right.
But,
yeah, you're
but
right.
But anyway, mm-hmm. so that's what the course is basically about, and
wow.
And, you know, I'll probably write another one someday, but it was a lot of work, and it was, you know, really me kind of pouring my heart out in a sense of, you know, how do I want to share what I have learned about myself with other people? And I've been working on a book for a few years called My
books.
Phrase is Whatever You Do, Stay Inspired, and that's the name of the book.
Whatever You Do, Stay Inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that came from Songwriter Girl. It's like, you know, whatever you do. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're, it came out of that, you know, I don't care if you want to be a chef. I don't care if you want to do this. I don't care if you want to whatever, be a dog groomer, stay inspired. Just be inspired in your life.
I think I know the answer to this, but what inspires Kirstie Nana?
Everything. A lot of things inspire me, you know, other people, songs, stories of people that survive. See, I'm getting like choked up.
Yeah,
I love when
survive.
I get choked up, by the way, I love it because it excites me to know all the wonderful things there are in life that can inspire you, and you have to just be open to whatever that is going to be that day. And if, you know, as a songwriter, if you're having a bad week or you feel blocked or something, just change it up, you know.
Absolutely.
Go do the thing that the Artist's Way said, go have an artist date. Do something to fill your own well, and then you'll have something to draw on, you know.
How about that? Somebody once talked, and I don't remember who it was, talked about when you're not writing, you're in an input mode. It's all of these things.
Yeah. And the thing, too, that's so hard in Nashville, because everybody watches everybody else have success and everything, and you just have to be happy for other people's success.
You really do.
Because you don't have to be, but you should be.
You should be.
I think it's healthy to, you know, I think it's good to put out the vibes to other people that you feel joy for them, because you want them to feel that way for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And also, you know, just the whole thing of there's all different kind of levels of success in the music business. There's all kinds of ways for your music to be out there. It doesn't all have to be the, in the top five on Billboard, you know.
It's about how you define success.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true.
And talking about being happy for other, it's there's such a temptation. You're looking at the socials and, so-and-so did this.
It's so hard.
Playing the Bluebird, and you compare yourself and you go, I'm no good. Baloney. Don't compare yourself. Again, right. You go back to you, be true to you.
Right.
You define your own success.
Well, and you can call it meditation, prayer, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But I think, being able to really focus on the positive of, what's something that you really want to see yourself doing and get quiet with yourself, because a lot of us don't know how to be quiet, and it's not always quiet where we are.
Exactly.
And so making the time to be quiet and really be in quiet thought, like in prayer, if you're really praying, you're conscious of what you're praying and saying in that prayer. You're in this mode,
Yep.
And I'm really glad that you do this podcast in regards to songwriting, because there are so many people out there that are trying to understand how in the world does this thing work. Mm-hmm. And on some days, all of us that are here, we don't know how it works, right, Dave? But at any rate, it gives people encouragement. And I really believe in the world that is what lacks so much. I think that's why there's crime. I think it's why people are unhappy. I think that's why they're depressed. There's all kinds of complex reasons why people are sad.
Yeah.
I know we're getting too heavy here.
No, but I love it. It's 100%. I agree. Wow. Very interesting. You know, you're so cool to talk to. And there's, I feel like we do another 3-4 hours,
Let's come back.
But you're always welcome. Always welcome. I've really enjoyed getting to meet you. But I want you to get at least one more song.
Okay.
Before we go.
You want us to play a fast one, or what do you want to hear?
What do you feel like?
Let's do Heartbreak Moon.
Okay,
Moon.
Because we both wrote that.
We wrote this
back
together.
When I used to write.
Cool. That's great.
This was one of our oldies but goodies when we wrote as a team. And Dave, I just want to thank you so much for having me doing this podcast. It's really great. So this is called Heartbreak Moon. As I said, Bill and I were jazzers.
Yeah.
And we met in college, and we had a jazz duo for a long time. And
my first job in radio, paid radio job, was jazz. Doing
really?
Jazz. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. WKSU in Kent.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I was an NPR affiliate at the
time. Hey, do you remember that group in Kent called the Numbers Band?
Oh, my gosh. Do I remember? I think one of their albums.
I think I saw you there at the club that night. I mean, we used to go and hear them.
I mean, I did too.
Were they not the
wackiest? Like every Thursday night, I want to say.
Were they not interesting?
Incredible.
Whatever happened to those people?
They were like telepathic,
They were. If you don't know about the Numbers
so
Band,
long, yeah.
read about them. I'm sure you can find some of their music. They were absolutely incredible.
They were so unique. They were like a record company's dream. They were really out there.
A brass section, the whole thing. Here we are, Squirrel. We're talking about jazz music and this great song that you're going to do for us.
Thank you, Dave. Heartbreak Moon, coming back too soon. Laugh anymore and I will cry. Hush-a-bye, baby, hush-a-bye. Lonesome blue, stuck with big old you. Heartbreak moon, it's me and you tonight. Where is the one man that I can hold on to? And if he finds me, will he always be true? Not much new since your last debut. I'm still hanging my tears to dry, all alone under your starry sky, heartbreak moon, it's me and you tonight. Ba 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 ba. Where is the one man that I can hold on to? And if he finds me, will he always be true? Give me a clue. Not much new since your last debut. I'm still hanging my tears to dry, all alone under your starry sky. Heartbreak moon, it's me and you tonight. Heartbreak moon, it's me and you tonight.
Wow. Christy, man, even scatting for us.
Well, who
that's
says,
an art right
who
there.
Says you can't scat in Nashville?
Oh, you can, absolutely.
There's a lot of moon and June rhymes in
there.
We probably wouldn't do that many.
I wouldn't do that now, but that's an old...
A lot of ooh rhymes
more
anyway.
Recently. But...
And Bill, thanks for making my guitar sound. It's never. I was going to change the strings on those. I was trying to make J4, as a matter of fact. But I don't think I will. Because
it's a lovely instrument.
It really sounds lovely. Yeah.
It's now past the tree phase. It's I think they say 20 years, and then it's no longer a tree.
That's funny. I haven't heard that.
That's good.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining us. I've totally enjoyed talking with you.
I so enjoyed it. Yeah. Great questions. Great interview. And thanks for doing this show.
Wonderful. Listen to the Kirsty podcast. Kirsty Cast.
Kirsty Cast.
YouTube.
And find me at Kirsty.com. And it's on YouTube. It's all streaming. Yes.
Awesome. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Songwriter Connection podcast. Find us on social media at Songwriter Connection. Also, listen to Dave Lanahan's Nashville Connections radio show. It streams live every Friday morning on WOBL and WNOI. Look for us on Facebook and YouTube. See you next time on Songwriter Connection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.